إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستغفره ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالحق بشيرًا ونذيرًا بين يدي الساعة، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My respected brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I guess the first question is, can you hear me? You can all hear, okay. Sisters at the back, brothers, you can all hear. Yes? Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khair for this opportunity. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Allah says in this ayah, shall they not or will they not ponder and reflect upon the Quran, or there are locks on your on their hearts? أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ. تَدَبُّر or تَدْبِير, reflection and contemplation and pondering is a very important part of reform. If we are to reform ourselves and to become better people, then it is essential that we train ourselves to reflect and to ponder. Tadabbur. The ulama, jazahumullah khair, of the past, particularly the ulama of the past, the giants of the past, always said, there are two major ways to increase our iman. There are number of ways that one can increase one's iman, one's own faith and belief. But there are two major ways that are so significant, yet are so neglected. They are so significant, yet they are so neglected. And the first of these ways to improve our iman and by extension reform ourselves is to ponder and reflect on the ayat, the signs of the open book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the second is to reflect and ponder on the ayat of the closed book of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. As for the open book of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it is the kawn, the cosmos, and all things that are within it. This is the open book of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. The open book is the cosmos. The water that we hear behind us and the trees that surround us are part of this cosmos. But because we see some of these ayat every day, we become heedless or become in a state of ghafla, heedlessness, to such an extent that we no longer see them as ayat. We no longer see them as signs. Ayat are pointers, signposts. So in this kaun, in this cosmos, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us signposts or ayat, verses that point to oneness or uniqueness, tawheed. In the Quran, there are equally ayat, in fact, it's all ayat, that also point to oneness and tawheed. They're all signposts in the Quran. Tragically, we have neglected both contemplation and pondering, or tadabbur, on the ayat of the Quran, and we have neglected tadabbur or contemplation on the ayat of the cosmos, of the universe. And I want to share some points on that, inshaAllah ta'ala. We will never appreciate the grandeur and the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until we recognize our own insignificance. We will never appreciate the greatness and significance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until we recognize our own insignificance, our own nothingness. And we will never appreciate and recognize our own nothingness and insignificance unless we ponder on the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we fail to reflect and ponder on the ayat, on the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal in His closed book, the Quran, and in His open book, the cosmos, then slowly but surely a sense of pride and arrogance comes in us because of our own achievements, if there are any. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us again and again and again in the Quran to think and reflect. And that is why when I heard yesterday Sheikh Ya'war say that how many times you hear people say, I want to practice the Quran as opposed to I want to memorize the Quran. And that is so significant because in order to practice the Quran, you really have to ponder on the Quran. You have to understand the Quran. There are so many ayat in the cosmos that we see every day, but we don't take notice of. One of the greatest ayat, one of the greatest signs that Allah Ta'ala gives us is the sun that rises every day. How many times we stood back and looked at the sun and made this contemplation, tadabbur, on the greatness of the sun. Let me ask you this question. How many times is the sun bigger than the earth? We see it every day, rise and sets. How many times is the sun bigger than our earth? Take a guess. 100 times. Anyone else? How many? 300,000 times. Anyone else?
A million times.
You're brave. The sun is 1.3 million times bigger than our earth. Imagine that. In other words, you can put 1.3 million earths in the sun. If you've ever looked at an astronomical picture of the sun or the earth against the disk of the sun, you will see a black dot and the sun. And that black dot is earth. So the sun is 1.3 million times approximately bigger than the earth. And there are many other suns that are bigger than this sun. The cosmos as we know it continues to expand exponentially. A phenomenon that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala referred to in the Quran, but perhaps was unknown to them at the time. إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ بِأَيْدٍ وَإِنَّا لَمُوسِعُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, we have created the heavens with might and we are expanding them. And this is a recent understanding in astronomy and science, the theory of the expansion of the universe. And I want to tell you a little bit about that so that it allows us to think and reflect and then to zoom back and see how insignificant we are. And that we are not only nothing, but we are nothing in nothingness. And if we are nothing in nothingness, then you begin to realize that our worth and our value is not in who we are, but in what's inside our hearts. Our worth and value is not in what we have or what we look like, but in something that deeply penetrates the heart. That is where our worth lies.
That's why the Tabi'een radiyallahu anhum, they said about Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, Wallahi ma sabaqahum Aba Bakrin bikathrati salatin wala sawmin walakin bishay'in waqara fi qalbihi. They said, I swear by Allah, Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu did not go ahead of the rest. He did not go ahead of them. He did not beat the rest because of extra salah or fast relative to their salah and fast, not to ours. Not because of extra salah or extra fasting, but because of something that was deeply inculcated in his heart. And that is yaqeen and iman on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. For he is the best of the best after the anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam, not because of what he accumulated, but because of what he retained in his heart. Radiyallahu anhu wa ardah. Allah ta'ala be pleased with him. If you look at the earth, my brothers and sisters, 2/3 of our earth is made of water. And only there is 1/3 that is land. And so that's 2/3 out. In that 1/3, how much of that 1/3 is deserts and mountains and uninhabitable land? Maybe another 1/3, let's say. So that takes 1/3 of the 1/3. And then that leaves us with about 2/3 of that land already. And part of that 2/3, it is divided between the 6 billion people among us. 6 billion plus. And you and I, you don't own that 1/3 of land, but you live in a small house in India, or in Brisbane, or in Melbourne, or in Sydney. In that very tiny place. On this massive earth, when you travel from Brisbane to here, you think it's a long distance. When you travel from Melbourne to here, you think it's a long distance. When you travel from India to here, you say, when are we going to get there? And this is all within earth. But then when you zoom out and look at the sun only, the sun is 1.3 million times. The surface temperature of the sun is 5,000 degrees Celsius. The core temperature of the sun is 14 million degrees Celsius. The temperature of the lava of the volcano is 1,200 degrees Celsius. The core temperature of the sun is 14 million degrees Celsius. At that heat, fire turns white. Fire turns white. Then there are other suns which are millions of times bigger than our own sun. And it is expanding. In the 1930s, the greatest discovery was the Milky Way. And using the Hubble telescope, they found that the Milky Way, if you went out last night, because there is no artificial light here, when there is superficial artificial light, it covers the true light. Right? And so when you are in the city and look up, you don't see the stars properly. But if you're in the outback or in the desert and you look up, you see reality, you see the stars. And so if you look, you see an oblong shape, stars or a galaxy of stars, that is the Milky Way. In the 1930s, they said to travel from point A to point Z in the Milky Way, you needed 130 million light years. This is only one galaxy, called the Milky Way. To travel from point A to point Z, you need 130 million light years. What is the speed of light? What is that?
3 times 10 to the 8 degrees per second.
Which is what? That's 300,000. What's the speed of light? Sisters, brothers, this is just to wake you up, you know. Yes, the speed of light is about 360,000 kilometers per second. To make it easier for you to understand, light can travel around the earth 6.5 times per second. Light, in 1 second, it can go 6.5 times around earth. That's how fast light is. If you have a space shuttle, that can travel at that speed, you need 130 million years to cover the Milky Way. Think. Right? And this galaxy is one of billions of galaxies. This galaxy, the Milky Way, is one of billions. In the galaxy of the Milky Way, there are trillions and trillions of stars and planets. In fact, astronomers say, if we are able to count the number of sand particles on the oceans or the shores of the oceans of the world, then we will be able to count the number of stars and planets that Allah Ta'ala created. It's not possible. And as you go out, nowadays they tell us that one of the furthest galaxies away from us is about 10 billion light years away. And that's the one that we can only, we don't know the location of that particular star or galaxy. We see the light only. Because the light traveled 10 billion years ago, 10 billion light years ago. And now it reached us. And so now we see it. And that's interesting because Allah Ta'ala makes a qasam in the Quran, coming back to pondering. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ Allah says, and I take an oath by the location of the stars, and only if they knew it's a mighty oath I am taking. Because we don't know the actual location of many of these stars, but we see the light that just came to us. So just keep focused with me. So the more you go out, the furthest, the greater this cosmos is. And now they're telling us that the furthest of these galaxies or planets, if you like, is 10 billion light years away, and the universe is expanding, and all they know is the Sama'ud Dunya. The Sama'ud Dunya, the first heaven, if you like, the first sky, the first Sama. And Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, seven heavens. And it comes in a Sahih Hadith, the only one perhaps, where it is mentioned. And the first heaven compared to the second is like a ring in the desert. The earth and the sun and the moon and the solar system and everything within this earth, I'm sorry, within this first cosmos, compared to the second is like a ring in the desert, and the second to the third is like a ring in the desert, and the third to the fourth is like a ring in the desert, and the fourth to the fifth is like a ring in the desert, and the fifth to the sixth is like a ring in the desert, and the sixth to the seventh is like a ring in the desert. وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ And Allah's kursi encompasses the seven heavens and the earth. And the kursi to the arsh is like a ring in the desert. Do you begin to understand the size of the arsh now? And it comes in the Sahih Hadith about Jannatul Firdaus, وَسَقْفُهَا عَرْشُ الرَّحْمَانِ And the ceiling of Jannah is the Arsh of Allah. How big is Jannah? Relative, put it all relative. This is pondering, this is thinking. Now, if the first heaven with the sun and the galaxies and the planets, etc., is only like a ring in the desert compared to the second, and between the first heaven and the second heaven is a gap of 500 years water. And between the second and the third is the same, and the third to the fourth, and likewise. So now you can see that you and I live in this tiny place, somewhere on this planet, that in comparison to the sun is nothing, and the sun in comparison to the other suns is nothing. This earth, in comparison to then the seven heavens, is nothing and nothingness. And you live only in this small house, you perhaps own it, and most likely you don't own it. And you work all day and all night, so you pay the rent and eat at the end of the day. And walk around on this earth that Allah created with arrogance and pride. Why? What's there to be proud of? You are nothing in nothingness, yet interestingly, When Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام asked Allah Ta'ala in the Sahih Hadith, he says, Ya Allah, he said, Ya Allah, tell me about the last person who will enter Jannah. He didn't say, tell me about the first person. He says, Ya Allah, tell me about the last person who will enter Jannah. Allah Ta'ala says to Musa, هُوَ رَجُلٌ يَخْرُجُ مِنَ النَّارِ يَحْبُو حَبْوًا. It is a person who will come out of Jahannam. May Allah save us from Jahannam. It's a person who will come out of Jahannam crawling, meaning he's just made it out. Made it out. And because he or she is the last person to come out of Jahannam, it means this person had the least iman. Correct? Because after he exits Jahannam, it will be locked. And when he enters Jannah, it will be locked. So this is the person who comes out of last to come out of Jahannam, meaning he had the least amount of iman. And perhaps no amal. I want you to think about the value of iman. That's what the point is. And so Allah Ta'ala says to Musa, it is a person who will come out of Jahannam, يَحْبُو حَبْوَى. He will crawl out of Jahannam. Then he comes to Allah Azza wa Jal, فَيَقُولُ لَهُ Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, أُدْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah says to him, go and enter paradise. فَيَذْهَبُ إِلَيْهَا. He goes to paradise, فَيُهَيَّأُ إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهَا مَلْأَى. It appears to him, it's packed, it's full, because he's the last person. فَيَرْجِعُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. He goes back to Allah Ta'ala, he says, Ya Allah, how shall I enter it when it's full? Second time, Allah says, enter, go and enter Jannah. He goes and the same thing happens. He comes back a third time and the same thing happens. After three attempts, he comes back to Allah Ta'ala and he says, Ya Allah, it's full. فَيَقُولُ لَهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. Allah Ta'ala says to him, أَتَرْضَى أَن يَكُونَ لَكَ مُلْكِ مَلِكٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Would you like that I give you a paradise the size of a king, of one of the kings of dunya, of the kings who rule the world? I mean, that's a fair deal. I mean, think about it. The man just made it out. And Allah says, I'll give you one kingdom. A kingdom. We're all striving for the last, for 60, 70 years to own a house. Right? Sahih. Think, put it in perspective. To have a degree and then, brother, why you want to have a degree? Because I want to have a good job. Why you want to have a good job? So I can have good money. Why you want to have good money? So I can buy a house and a nice car. And get married, inshallah ta'ala. Right? Alhamdulillah. What an achievement. He says, I will give you a Jannah the size of the kingdom of one of the kings. What do you think the man will say? Raditu Rabbi. I'm happy, Ya Allah. I'm happy. He says, قال, then Allah says to him, لَكَ ذَلِكَ وَمِثْلُهُ 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 وَمِثْلُهُ. I shall give you that and four times that. وَلَكَ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِ الدُّنْيَا. And 10 times the size of this world. وَلَكَ مَا تَشْتَهِي نَفْسُكَ وَتَلَذُّ عَيْنُكَ. And for you, whatever your nafs desires and whatever your eyes would like to see. When you enter Jannah, I will give you whatever your eyes like to see and whatever comes to your own your own wish and desire. Because the deal is so awesome, it is so unbelievable, because the person has just, the last to come out of Jannah, he has the least iman, remember that. The least iman, and he gets this deal, according to the Sahih Hadith. He says to Allah in response, أَتَسْتَهْزِئُ بِي وَأَنْتَ الْمَلِكُ. You are, Ya Allah, you are mocking with me and you are the king? You are joking? These words are used in the hadith. أَتَسْتَهْزِئُ بِي. You are mocking me, Ya Allah, and you are the king. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as he was narrating this hadith, he smiled. He says, هَكَذَا يُخَاطِبُ الْعَبْدُ رَبَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That is how a banda, a slave, will speak to his Lord on the Day of Judgment. My brothers and sisters, if a person with the least iman gets this much of Jannah, it is not. It doesn't tell us the value of the person. No, 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 no. It tells us the value of the iman he had in his heart. And this is when you begin to understand that Allah Ta'ala looks at our hearts and He looks at the iman that is in our heart. Imagine then a person who has that iman and makes salah and fast Ramadan and does dhikr and so on and so forth. And that is why immediately Musa alayhi salam asked the next question in the same hadith. What do you think the next question was? The first question was, tell me about the last person who will come out of Jahannam, meaning the last person who will enter Jannah, the least of those who will take Jannah. What's the next question of Musa alayhi salam? فَأَخْبِرْنِي, tell me about the highest. I don't want to know what's in between, he says. Tell me about the highest. فَأَعْلَاهَا. Then Allah Ta'ala responds in a different way. First, He gives him details about, because this is the least person who had iman, this is what his concerns were, you know, quantity and the possessions of things. But people who ascend beyond that, and now their iman begins to go higher, they begin to think of something much more higher. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala responds differently now. He says to Musa, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَرَدْتُ. Oh Musa, those are the ones I wanted. The others, I gave them the leftovers. It's the leftovers. It is the leftover for that person. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَرَدْتُ. It is those who I wanted. غَرَسْتُ كَرَامَتَهُمْ بِيَدَيَّ. I planted their own honor with my own hands. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, it's a very important point. He says when we speak about Allah's hands or Allah's eyes or Allah's ears, we must not point. So when we say, Allah Ta'ala says in the hadith, غَرَسْتُ كَرَامَتَهُمْ بِيَدَيَّ, I planted their honor with my own hands. We should not move our hands. We should not say with my own hands. غَرَسْتُ كَرَامَتُهُمْ. He says, I planted their honor with my own hands. فَلَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. This is the context of this hadith. He says, so much so, I have given them so much so. And he doesn't give details. All he says, I give them what no eye has ever seen, and what no ear has ever heard of, and what never came to the imagination of a person, including those in the other jannat. So what these people have in the other paradise, they don't know what Allah has given to these people right at the top. وَعَرْشُهَا سَقْفُ الرَّحْمَنِ. And the ceiling of Jannah is the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the arsh is so massive that we cannot comprehend it. So it's the value of iman that matters. It is the value of iman, and it is the quality of that iman. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is concerned about quality and not quantity. And that is why on the day of Qiyamah there is mizan. There is a scale that weighs the a'mal and not counts them. A'mal do not get counted. A'mal get weighed. Correct or not? Why do they get weighed? Because فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. He or she who does an atom's weight of goodness shall find it, because it will be weighed. So when a beggar came and knocked at the door of Aisha radiallahu anha, and Aisha opened and she had somebody else with her inside, so a beggar asked. Aisha looked in her house, in the house of Rasulullah sallam, and as you know, often there was nothing. She found a grape, not a bunch of grapes, a grape. So she gave it in sadaqah. The person observing that inside, another lady, she said, a grape only? She says, have you not heard what Allah says in the Quran? فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. Whoever does an atom's weight of goodness shall find it. Then she said to her, do you know how many atoms there are in that grape? That is looking at the quality of the amal and not the quantity of the amal. And that is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam so pertinently advised the Sahabi radiallahu anhu. He says, أَخْلِصِ الْعَمَلِ يكفك القليل. Be sincere in what you do, then little will be enough for you. And that's very important, because that gives us the idea of istiqama, how to have true istiqama, steadfastness and continuity in action. Right, so he says, أخلص العمل يكفك القليل. Be sincere in what you do, then little will be enough. Little will be enough. And that links back to what we were saying last night. لما وكيف, how and why. Why you do a amal? إخلاص. أخلص العمل يكفك القليل. Be sincere in what you do, and little will be enough for you. But because we live in a world that amplifies and wants us to amplify everything that we do, because it's all about the I am, when we go to school, to university, it's all about the I am, which was the first thing to destroy Iblis and the thing that destroyed Fir'aun and everybody else. قَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. He says, I am your Lord Most High. Fir'aun says, Shaitan said, قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ. I am better than he is. And then he went to justify it. I'll finish in another 40 minutes. No, just to make sure you're awake. No, just a few more minutes, inshallah. So this I am, we live in a system that amplifies the I am. Right? And Islam teaches the opposite. You have to squash the I am. You know, you have to put your foot on the I am and think of He is. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. Right? But unfortunately, it's all about us nowadays. It's about me. And hopefully in this course, you will leave this course thinking about He is Allah Azza wa Jal, and I am nothing in nothingness, at the very least. So ikhlas in amal is very, very important. And tadabbur, contemplation. And just to finish off with this, I asked once a sheikh who came from Pakistan. It was a 1 year walking jama'ah. I think his name was Khalid Amin. And I said, give me nasiha. At that time, I was in my 20s, just like all of you, including brother Sheikh Yawar. Right? I said, give me nasiha. He said five things. Remember these five things. Or you can write them if you like. I've never forgotten these five. First, correct your intention in anything you do and wherever you are. Whether you are working or studying, whether you are going to the shop or you are coming here. Intention or living, what is your intention by living in this country? Intention drives purpose. Correct? Intention drives purpose. And purpose is dependent on intention. Intention drives purpose. So if your purpose is to get up for Fajr, intention is very important. You intend before. And intention is not the verbal utterance of words, but it is an awareness that is created in the heart, knowing that I want to do something. But in this case, it is for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Intention. What is your intention? He says, correct your intention. Secondly, never leave making 5 times salah on time. Because sometimes we get distracted by other things. Third, keep the company of friends who remind you of Allah Azza wa Jal. You can never underestimate this piece of advice. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-mar'u ala deen khalilihi. A person's deen depends on his friends. Your friend influences your deen. And fourth, wherever you are, if it's university or work or shopping center, whenever you finished what you need to do, leave that environment and go back to an environment where Iman is nurtured. And sometimes people think that this environment should be only the masjid. The greatest environment where Iman should be nurtured, believe it or not, is our houses. And that is why we need to create houses where there is an environment of Iman. And that's something that maybe can be discussed later. And last but not least, and relates to our topic of pondering, he says every day just take 5 minutes at the very least and sit by yourself in a corner somewhere without any distractions, right? And begin to ponder of the azama, of the majesty and the greatness of Allah Ta'ala by thinking of His creation. And he gave an example. He said, for instance, one day you can open your hand and look at it. You don't have to go far. Just open your hand and look at this unbelievable creation. With all our science and technology, we still don't know how to make a hand like this. We have robots, but they are not like this. And when we do make a robot that communicates rather funnily, speaks, "Hello, my name is," and we say, "Oh my God, oh, you know, what a wonderful achievement." Look at your hand, you know, unbelievable. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this. Kun fayakun, that's all. Be and it was. The joints, the skin, the lines, all perfect. Cannot fault it. Cannot fault it. And now, of course, with the advancement of science, they say each one has his own fingerprints. That's your own ID, identification. Everyone has a different fingerprint. How? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Think. Just think, for instance, if Allah tabaraka ta'ala did not give us joints in our elbows, if they were straight hands, you won't be able to eat because you can't feed yourself, but you'll be feeding Him and He will be feeding you, right? So you'll have to have two people when you want to eat, right? So I'll feed you on the condition you feed me also. But it's so simple, but it's unbelievable, right? This Allah Azza wa Jal, right? The joints or the knees. Imagine if we can't bend our knees. You won't be able to do so much. So think of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by thinking of His own creation, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Inshallah ta'ala, if we were to exercise this on a daily basis, that will allow us to increase our iman. And furthermore, go and look into the cosmos and find out the beauty of Allah's creation. Salah al-Din, just to finish off, Salah al-Din. All of us heard of Salah al-Din. We think we may know Salah al-Din, but unless you learn and read about Salah al-Din, you don't know Salah al-Din. Right, rahmatullah alayhi. And one of the best books on Salah al-Din is called Salah al-Din by a man called Dr. Azzam. It's based on the actual biography of Salah al-Din by his own biographers. In English, really a great book on Salah al-Din. And Salah al-Din once saw an old man in the street. And as soon as he saw the old man, he began to weep because he had that soft heart. He wept. He saw an old man, he wept. And immediately he said, look at the beauty of Allah's creation. The beauty of old age. And the beauty of old age made him weep. Today we want to escape old age, you know, pump anything in our body to remove wrinkles. Right? To remove wrinkles because we think old age is bad. Old age is not bad. Right? It's getting so Salah al-Din looked at that and he saw immediately the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in old age. Right? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me a new the tawfiq, the ability, inshallah ta'ala, to reflect on the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His open book, and to reflect on the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His closed book, inshallah ta'ala. And may Allah azza wa jal give me and you the tawfiq, inshallah ta'ala, to be sincere in what we do, and to reflect deeply and thoroughly on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once from us, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakum Allah khayran.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. جزاكم الله.